Today on Real Radio.
John was on that island left by the Roman Empire to die. God had another plan. He will be rescued, and he will be taken to Ephesus. The old man, the apostle. He'll die of natural causes, by the way. The only apostle who does.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Revelation. We're in a mini-series called When God Takes a Break. It's a look at all 11 verses of chapter 10. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
He died on the cross once and for all, says the scripture. Now watch this. To make an end of sins, that happened at the death of Christ. To make reconciliation for iniquity, the resurrection of Christ guaranteed our salvation. That was fulfilled. To bring in everlasting righteousness, the offering of Christ in heaven on the altar before God, the high priest bringing his blood before the eternal altar of God. Christ did that. To seal up vision and prophecy. Ah, we're waiting for that to happen. That hasn't happened yet. That's still being done now. Look, and to anoint the most holy. Eternity hasn't begun yet. So those last two declarations have not yet happened. We await them. It dovetails perfectly into the fact that the mystery of God would be finished. We are now approaching the end of the book of Revelation, certainly the end, the latter portion, the last 3.5 years. My friend, in this chapter, time-wise, we are not far from the rule and reign of Christ in a chronological form as we see in the book of Revelation. From chapters 10 on to the end of the book, it is going to cover a very brief period of time. So when the scripture says the mystery of God would be finished, what would be finished? That God would rule and reign by his messenger, Jesus Christ, in the great millennium. Jesus will rule and reign on earth when he comes in the second coming. Now Jesus, Bible students, listen. Jesus does not come and rule and reign via the rapture. A lot of people confuse the rapture and the second coming. They are diametrically opposed to one another. One is an appearance, the other one is a physical coming. The one has no warnings whatsoever. The other one has over 300 warnings. The one is to the believer only. And apparently, we conclude the world has no knowledge of it. The other one, it says all the people of the earth will mourn and weep at his coming. Interesting, huh? The other one presupposes no prophetic fulfillment to predate it or to introduce it. The other, the second coming, has tremendous things that predate. Isn't it neat that the church looks for the coming of Christ? Those of the tribulation period, though, dread and look to the coming of the Antichrist. We are given as a church to be alive and live for Christ, aren't we? And to be alert for his imminent return. But the tribulation saints, what are they told for their faith? They will have to what? Die for their faith in Christ. Interesting. Greatly different. Keep that in mind. It's very important. One will be at least 7 years away from the other one. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. When God's mystery is finished, God is gracious, he's patient, he's kind, yes, but listen, we live in a time zone, people, and time expires, time concludes. And God says in Genesis 6, 3, my spirit will not always strive or put up with, contend with man forever. I'm going to put an end to my timing, is what God is saying. There's going to come a time when my dealing with men will cease. And of course, in Genesis day, that was signified by the closing of the door. Remember when Noah stepped inside that ark, and the Bible says God closed the door. time expired. Revelation 11:15. Revelation 11:15 says, and it shall say, when we study it, that the seventh angel sounded and there was a loud voice from heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Very important. Daniel 7:21. This is an important verse. Before the end of the great tribulation period, Daniel 7:21 is the context here. Daniel said, as I was watching, he makes reference to the Antichrist was making war against the Lord's saints. Remember, he's going to kill the tribulation saints. And the Antichrist will prevail against them until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was given in favor of the saints of the Most High. And that the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Tremendous promise that time will expire and the mystery of God will conclude. My friend, you have the luxury. You may be an evolutionist this morning. You may be an atheist this morning. You may be an agnostic. You may be one who's in a cult. I don't know where you're at. But listen, time is ticking. And you can hear it. What do I mean by that? You can hear it. Look around at this world and see what's going on. You can hear it ticking. Man, I don't know about you, but I look around and don't tell me, well, it's because you're getting older, that's why. I look around this world and I want to be with Jesus. And, well, you know, that's a real, real fatalistic view on things. What? Let me tell you. It's a lot better with him. Have you read the book? Have you read the Bible? We're going to a place where Paul the Apostle, when he saw it, God showed it to him. He said, I can't even tell you about it. He said, there are no words given for man's lips to articulate that it's worthy of heaven. I can't even talk about it. Isn't that funny? You can go over here to Borders and buy books on what heaven's all about. I say that as a joke. Paul saw it and he said, I can't talk about it. It's too awesome. That's where I'm going. I heard President Bush speak from Normandy. Today, which is now nighttime there, and he was talking about Ronald Reagan, who passed away yesterday, and how President Bush made a statement how Ronald Reagan has now entered into a city, a gleaming, brilliant, beautiful city. And that's a wonderful thing. Is that your assurance today? Is that your hope? Do you have that assured to you? You can. That's a comforting thing. That's where I'm going. And I know for many of you, that's where you're going. But for those of you who aren't sure, or you're not believing in Christ, I've said it so many times, and you're tired of hearing me say it, but I don't want you to come. And I do not want you to believe in Calvary Chapel. That will do nothing for you. I don't want you to believe in people, beginning with me. I'm going to let you in on a little secret here, and I'm not putting anybody down who does the opposite. But I am so, call me wrong, it's okay. But you know what? If you dress up, and I'm not putting it down, don't get me wrong. If I wear a suit, that's my business, and that's fine. That's not what I'm talking about. But if I come out here wearing a robe and a hat, I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just saying, why do I need this? And someone might say, Pastor, I don't need it, but the people I minister to do. What? Why do they need it? They need an item or a resemblance that strengthens their faith. In what? Now, it's an easy trap to fall into. Why would I need to wear a robe? Why would I need to come out and look, if you're visiting and you're a Presbyterian Baptistal or wherever you've come from and you wear a robe, I'm not knocking you. I'm just saying I can't. Personally, I can't. Why? Because I'm afraid of someone who's prone or weak in faith. They might look at me and say, whoa, did you see his robe? It's cool. And those colors. And when he moved that certain way, it kind of sparkled and it caught my eye and God's on him. Why? The robe, it glistened. I don't want to even be near that. Now, sometimes I go the other way, and you say, Pastor, you ought to wear a tie. You know what? Maybe I should. Pastor, you ought to wear a suit. Maybe I should. I'm not putting those things down. So if I wear a suit next week, I should wear a suit next week, just to see if you're paying attention right now.
I thought you said you...
I didn't say that. I'm saying I don't want to put forth an image that would cause you to lean towards some earthly thing that can't do anything for you. It's important. Very, very important. And so we want to make sure that our faith is securely founded upon Him. Verses 8 through 11, we end with this point. When God takes a break, He gives His mandate to mankind. When God takes a break, when He pauses in his act of grace, remember the revelation given to John is now put on pause, and he's got this parenthetical insert of information. Verses 8 through 11, God takes a break and gives His mandate to mankind. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it. And it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I ate it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. What I see here is that the Lord is giving His love and His righteousness, His righteous love. How so? In that pause, the message is given to John, preach it, tell it, speak it, every opportunity, John, tell people. Now listen to this. This is very cool in my opinion. Church, you know now by virtue of the introduction, John is a very old man. In the giving of the book of Revelation, he's a very old man on the Isle of Patmos, which if you sign up to go with us on that tour of the middle of the Mediterranean, we're going to the island of Patmos. John was on that island, left by the Roman Empire to die. God had another plan. He will be rescued, and he will be taken to Ephesus. The old man, the apostle. He'll die of natural causes, by the way, the only apostle who does. During that time, he preached. He told people. But you say, wait a minute, Jack. He, according to church history, was also very old and crippled. He didn't get around much. It's true, he didn't. But did he not write one of the world's, or if not, he was certainly a contributing editor, author to the world's best-selling book? Did he not author the Gospel of John? Did he not write 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John? Did he not write the book of Revelation, inspired by the Holy Spirit? The Bible without error? He did. John's an author of several books of the Bible. What's beautiful about this is also is that it speaks that what you and I, oh, are you listening? Wake up your neighbor. Have him get this part and then you can go back to sleep. What you and I do as Christians will last apparently forever. That's cool. Well, how are you investing? Quite effectively. Ooh, you got some capital, do you? No, but I'm a Christian. And I'm investing in telling people about Jesus. So are you, by the way. Did you know that? Did you know, by virtue of the fact this last week, you were able to purchase over 9,000 Bibles this week to send to the world? That's wonderful. Last week, you gave so abundantly to the Gideons that they got a hold of me and said, Pastor, your church was able now to purchase 9,000 Bibles to send out to the world. That is a lasting investment. That is something that will endure forever because the lives of that Word of God going into their hearts, into their lives will change people, and that will be something that will be providing dividends, so to speak, for you and I forever in heaven. So preach, he says, tell it. The Lord loves, and he is righteous. So he says, John, know it, take it, understand it, digest it. for you will experience my word. Listen, pleasant to those who receive it, bitter because of the judgment that's coming. As a Christian, as a father, as a pastor, it's amazing for all of us to see where this world is going. How do we counter it? As a Christian, I'm glad about a lot of things. I'm glad about heaven. I'm glad about my assurance. But I'm also bitter about evil and rebellion, aren't you? Yes. Yes. As a Christian. As a father, I'm glad about my daughters who know the Lord. You know? What would it benefit me if thousands of people came to this church and I lost my own daughters? Can you imagine if thousands of people came to know Christ in this ministry and my daughters missed heaven? What would profit a man if he gained a bigger church but lost his own daughters? I'm glad that you're here. And I don't know how to say it in human terms, but I'm glad my daughters are going to heaven. Okay? And I'm commanded to give you the word of God. But it's interesting that I'm commanded to bring them up in the ways of the Lord and to teach them the ways of the Lord as their father, and certainly Lisa does that as their mother. As a pastor, I'm glad about what God is doing with us here. As a pastor, I'm sad about so many people in this day and age, their faith is dying. People aren't investing in their children, they're not investing in their spouses. They've given up on faith, and they're more dedicated, spending tremendous efforts of energy and of time to make money or to buy that home on the hill or whatever that trinket is. And they've divorced themselves from family and children. The kids don't know the Lord, but it's sad. This is an indictment on us. What shall it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? And as a pastor, my heart breaks when I see people giving up the word of God, what God has laid upon their hearts to obey from Scripture because of the pursuit of more money. It's all going to come down. It's a house of cards. And all you need to do is talk to a dying man, and your alignment will straighten up real quick. Has God blessed you? Praise the Lord. Use it to His glory, okay? And He'll bless you. He'll keep blessing you, by the way. It's just the way. He will never become indebted to you. If God's blessed you, turn it around. Crank it on for God, you know? But listen. There are rich people who die rich, and they are super rich in heaven because they've invested for God's kingdom. There are people who are poor and they die poor, and they're poor in heaven because they've invested little. It has nothing to do with how much you have. It has to do with what you do with what you got. So that a poor person can invest what they have, be it time, effort, could be a dollar, but it's spent wisely and they're rich in heaven. It could be a rich believer invests very little with God and winds up that they're very, very poor in heaven. You see what I'm saying? It's very important. We understand that. And so we need to be sensitive to the fact that there's a bitterness and there's a sweetness to all of these things. And as Christians, we need to be very careful. You want to jot down a few verses? I had a lot of fun finding this one verse because it convicted me so much. And I'll tell you the reason why. It was the second verse I memorized as a brand new Christian. My first verse was kind of twisted, I must confess. Greg Laurie gave a message that night on Revelation 20:11. Behold, I saw a great white throne, and the books were open, and those who stood before him were judged of the things written in the book. That's not a good verse. But he preached on it, and it scared the H-E double hockey sticks right out of me. And I realized I better run forward and accept Christ. So God used Revelation 20:11 in my life. The next verse was a little bit more encouraging. I got saved on a message of bitterness. But then the Lord quickly brought sweetness. That's Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah 15:16 says, your words were found and I did eat them. And your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Because I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Isn't that a great verse? What turns you on? Is it the fact that you've eaten the Bible? It's in your fiber? It's in your blood? And what makes you so excited and joyful is that God knows you and
You know him and he calls you. You are property of the living God. And because of that, you are joyous. Man, that's great. King David in Psalm 51, he makes his great confession. And then he says, Lord, you know, forgive me. It was his sin with Bathsheba, remember? Then he says, forgive me. Renew a right spirit within me. And he says, and then I will go and teach sinners your way. What's your joy? Having your sins forgiven? The fact that your name is written down in heaven? Yeah. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Some of you are like that. Every time I've opened the Bible, it's all bitter, 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 bitter. I don't like it. I don't know what's with you people reading the Bible. You read it and you go, oh, wonderful. I don't get it. I don't see it. And you spit and choke and... Well, you know what? Maybe you need to hear that verse. Taste and see that the Lord's good. Maybe you've been brought up in a bitter, bitter gospel, which is no gospel. You got to keep this rule, got to keep this law. You got to do the church ordinances. You got to do this for the board or this for the pastor. You got to do this, and then you can become a member of the church. And it's like, man, who can live up to this? Bitter. Taste and see that the Lord is good. John 6:35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He didn't say, I am the bitter bagel or something. I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But the messenger also said it's going to be bitter to your stomach. Listen to this. What does he mean by that? Acts 17:30 tells us a little bit of bitterness. Truly, these times of ignorance, it was preached. God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. That's Jesus Christ, who he has given as an assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Jesus is coming back to judge. 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved. That is, when we evangelize and preach and teach, it just blesses people, those who are being saved. They love it. But watch this. But to the ones, we are an aroma unto death, leading to death. And to the other, an aroma of life leading to life. Who's sufficient for these things? The preaching of the gospel brings bitterness to some, life to others. It's a stinky stench to some, and it's a wonderful aroma to others. Isn't that interesting? The Bible. People either love the Bible, or they're scared to death of the Bible and hate it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study that takes a look at all 11 verses of Revelation chapter 10. When God Takes a Break is the title of this study, and in fact the title of this mini-series, which means that we'll continue on our next broadcast of Real Radio. If you've been listening to Real Radio for a while now, maybe it's time for you to let us know how this broadcast is affecting your life. It's real easy to do so. Simply visit realradioactive.org and click on Send Us a Message. You can also find out what other people are saying about the broadcast. Just click on Reaction. Again, visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or send us a letter to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number is 909-393-7100. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your contributions. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine
amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.